Good morning. It's FLX Morning Tuesday. It's 8:38. It is time to get healthy with UR Medicine Finger Lakes Health. That means that Laura Turbide is here. Good morning to you and welcome back.
Good morning, Ted.
How is everything going? I know your amazing daughter's medical career is progressing because I keep seeing all kinds of Facebook photos of her doing amazing things.
Thank you. It is. Healthcare is always evolving, and we need those young ones coming and joining us. And a shout out to all of our physicians. It was Doctor's Day over the weekend, so yes, excitement. Obviously, we just don't celebrate them enough. Likely, when I think about all the sacrifices they make, and healthcare workers in general, as we all know, make a lot of sacrifices. So my hat is always off to them.
So is everything moving along in the transition to UR Medicine? I see the sign down at the former Finger Lakes Health Commons.
It is. So very exciting. So UR Medicine signage going up, UR Medicine Finger Lakes Health, our new name being embraced. Obviously, the GI building where we've moved into was the very first spot. And then lots of other changes in the works. So you'll see our sign is officially up, and we're expecting them to go up soon in Penny. And it's always very weather dependent, as you can imagine. So we've been trying to queue up when we can do the concrete footers and when we can put. And I will give a shout out to Paula Buckland, for people who do know that Paula. She is so talented and so capable, and she has been really the guru here, getting us getting all the signs very, very well done, and helping really transition. So it's been a long process for her, and I just want to say thanks to a lot of people behind the scenes. People don't always realize. They see who the caregivers are, but they don't realize there's some other people that make things happen too.
So. Anything going around these days? Are we out of winter flu season?
I think we still are in a lot of respiratory season, so keep washing your hands, keep doing all those things that we know that are important steps. But in general, let's hope that we'll start to get a little clear from some of these things as the spring season.
All right, we're going to focus in today on athletes and training and sports medicine and physical therapy and rehab and such.
We are. So I'm thrilled that we've had her before, but it's always a joy to have Katie Sharman, who is with us. And Caitlin is athletic trainer, and we are going to talk about everything from spring sports readiness. We can talk a little bit about the summer clinic and camps that they do for young athletes. We'll talk about, and you two, honestly, Old Home Week. So honestly, I'm just going to step back and let you two chat it up. So thank you. With that, we're thrilled, I should say. Obviously, we're very, very lucky that we've built an incredible athletic training program through our rehabilitation department. So we have PT, OT, speech on the outpatient side. Our athletic trainers get right in there in the high schools that we serve locally, serve many of the high schools, and we also serve local colleges. And so we can talk a little bit about athletes of all ages, as well as all of us who maybe are not playing competitively, but might be out playing in our gardens and all the kinds of things. Training and being in that way, doing more preventive work and strengthening is important for all of us.
Absolutely.
So, Caitlin, I want to start with this, and we probably talked about this before, but I'm at the age where it's new to me, and that is the award that Geneva High School won when you were doing, because you started staffing sidelines at a lot of high school games, and you helped work with Geneva High to get national recognition a few years ago.
Yeah, so we were awarded the National Athletic Trainer Association Safe School Award. And what that is it recognizes that we have an athletic trainer in place, we have emergency action plans in place, all the things that we need to serve our athletes and make sure that they're super safe, as well as, you know, staff at the school. And if anything should happen, we can get them the best care they need.
Now, this must be a really exciting time to be in the field of athletic training. I do the Day of Donors every year at Hobart and William Smith. And when I hear the things these teams are getting, we're getting all these motion sensing things, so you can get baseline information on athletes, and you can actually say, you know, gee, your left arm when you pitch is down 3 degrees from where it used to be. I mean, it must be neat to have all those high-tech tools to play with.
Yeah, it's amazing how quickly everything's evolving in sports science and sports medicine. There's a broad range. HWS, they have a lot of those tools at the high school. You know, we're more hands-on. Not more hands-on, but we have more, like, ground level. We don't have a lot of those things to work with. But it's really cool to see, you know, where it came from 10 years ago when I first started to where it's at now.
And everything, I always say, starts at the top and moves down. Things start in professional sports and then go to college, then go to high school. In terms of athletic training, I mean, high schools, it's 1,000 times jump from where it was when I started doing high school games back in the 70s. It used to be just rub some dirt on it and walk it off. And now you've got professional training like you do at the high school level.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you see, a lot of people think that athletic training is personal training. And it's very, we're healthcare providers. We are, you know, on the ground level. We're doing the rehabilitation, like she was saying. We're the first responders. We're in a unique position that we see the injury from its onset to its finish. You know, a lot of individuals in the healthcare field, they'll see you in a snapshot of it, but we're really lucky that we get to build that relationship with our patients and, you know, see them through some of the toughest times and see that in its entirety.
So let's talk about staying in shape and injury prevention. How do you work with athletes to see where they are, where an injury risk might exist, and how you can keep them healthy and on the field?
Yeah, I mean, I think the first thing is really building those relationships and understanding where your patients are coming from and your athletes are coming from. And that's step one to getting them to kind of trust you and to come to you with any kind of injury. After that, once you've built that relationship, you see them, see how they move. Like you were saying, see your left arm's down 3 degrees when you throw. I mean, it's funny, like, I go into school around noon and I'll see kids walking around. I'm like, oh, that kid's, he's going to roll his ankle because he kind of pronates a little bit, or, you know, all these little things that us healthcare providers do in the grocery store that you don't even know. But it's building the relationships, and then you learn little things about them. And in order to prevent, you just say, okay, you guys are going to the weight room and doing these big lifts, like a big squat, but how about we incorporate this little band workout, do some, we call monster walks, you know, do some ankle prevention, and that way it'll help prevent any further injury while you're getting strong by doing these other big lifts.
I know the thoughts about weight training have changed over the years. For example, in baseball, for a long time, it was thought you shouldn't do weights because it cuts down on flexibility, but there's a lot of new thinking in that area now.
Yeah. I mean, the big thing we learn in our schooling for athletic training now, which is probably different than it was 15, 20 years ago, it's the stability-mobility paradigm. It's always a balance between what the two are in order to protect your bodies, and I think about, shoulder rehabilitation. If you don't have a mobile shoulder, you're not gonna be able to do anything. But at the same time, if your shoulder muscles aren't strong enough to hold your muscle or hold your shoulder in place, you're just as in a scary spot. So yeah, it's interesting, you know, the shift that we've seen from weight training to, you know, you have like the muscle heads, meatheads just doing throwing weight around, and now we've learned a little bit more.
Of course, athletes, when they get hurt, they want to get back on the field as soon as possible, and that's what the coaches want, and that's what you want. So how do you work with an athlete who's been injured to get through both the physical and the mental barrier? I've always talked about that when you come in, that you know, you have a knee injury, the first time you have to put your full weight on it, at some point you have to trust that you can do that.
Yeah, and that's exactly it. It's learning what motivates the athlete and seeing how you can get them to trust themselves and trust you to really say, okay, you're ready to do this. And that comes down to the little things that you do in your rehab. You start from where they're at. You meet them where they're at. If they're, you know, scared to bend their knee, you just do a little bit at a time, and you incorporate those in different activities. A lot of time with the high school athletes, like, I'll make them games. You know, they won't even realize that they're doing rehab at the time because we're just kind of, we're messing around and having fun. But I have a different goal. So that kind of helps with the mental and the physical at the same time.
So, for example, at Hobart and William Smith, do you in sports medicine have the final say about when an athlete can return? Because you've got coaches going, is he back? Is he back? Can I have him this week? Can I have him this week?
Yep.
And so is that ultimately your decision to make along with sports medicine?
Yeah. It's a collaboration. On the sideline, in the heat of the moment, we absolutely have that last say. If it's a bigger injury, say somebody tears an ACL and has a repair, we work with the sports medicine doctor, or work with Dr. Mark in this case, and collaborate with him and the PT and say, okay, they're at this point in their physical therapy, they're doing X, Y, and Z. And we do a huge battery of tests to make sure that they are sport ready. It is not 0 to 100.
And we've learned so much, of course, about head injuries, and not just the major ones. I'm sure you know what Ray Ciancolini's done. He was coaching at Geneva, and he goes around speaking about that it's not necessarily the one big shot to the head.
Right.
A lot of little ones added up can create a big problem.
Absolutely. And, I mean, concussion awareness is a huge, it's like a passion of mine. We've learned a ton, and starting at the high school level, because like you said, it was 15 years ago, rub some dirt on it when it was an injury, now, and you know, it's like I got my bell rung when it was a concussion, and now we know, you know, even just a little headache, that could be something. So we're a lot more cautious. We've done a lot of education at the high school level to say, this is what's going on with concussions, you know, report it, when in doubt, sit them out with the coaches, that kind of stuff. So we're really lucky in this area that we have a great network. We have Tom Del Papa at Finger Lakes Health, who's a concussion physical therapist specialist. And we have a lot of great resources for specialty doctors to see around here, too.
Dr. Rob Anderson, I know, has done some specialty work as well. Mm-hmm. And can I ask a little bit, like, how do you engage parents with this? Because sometimes it's not just the coach that's saying get them back in the game, but it's parents. So what's the role with the athletic training? I do see this as such an interdisciplinary work. You're working with coaches, you're working with the schools, you're working with the athlete themselves, you're working with their biggest fans, you know? Is there much interaction with families?
At the high school level, more so than the college level, for obvious reasons. But we really are kind of the middleman. You know, we're navigating the ship. So athlete comes to me with an injury. I'll say, okay, this is what we're going to do here. Who's the best person to call? Let me talk to mom, dad, grandma, grandpa. I'm going to tell them what's going on and, you know, the plan of care from there. And then, again, our program is really unique in that we have that collaboration with the PTs, with the doctors. We really have a great continuum of care so we can see and collaborate and really get them from point A to point B.
And I know another, I got to celebrate somebody else here at HWS, and that's Chris Gray. Mm-hmm. I mean, what a great job. He's moving on. But that strength and conditioning department has been a huge factor.
Yeah. He really brought the one team hashtag back together. That's a great thing for HWS to really be kind of glued together now. But yeah, he did. He built a great program, and sad to see him go.
Go ahead.
And what I was going to say, one of the things we haven't talked about is we really haven't talked about the schools that we do have and who we do work with. We should touch that while we're...
Yeah, so for athletic training services, right now we're at Geneva High School, Minders Academy, Penn Yan Academy, and Dundee. And actually Dundee is really a combined school for the athletics, so we serve Bradford in a way too. We have physical therapists. We have Julie Tyler over at HWS. She is the sole physical therapist provider over there on campus. She does an amazing job. And we're also tied in down at Cuca College for their athletes as well.
So tell us about the summer program that you have for student athletes.
Yeah, this is something we developed about 3 years ago. And every year it changes just a little bit. So our initial thought was we want to have something that's an injury prevention program. We want to be able to screen these students with different movement screens, different tests to say, okay, this is where you're weak. This is where you're strong. These are the things you need to do to, you know, prevent this kind of injury. And this developed over the last 3 years. Last year, he turned it into, you know, a high school combine is what we called it. And the kids kind of bought in. It was fun, more contest-like, more game-like. And they saw how it translated into their play. So that's developing every year. This year, we're going to kind of make it more continuous throughout the summer. In the past, it's just been a couple days here and there. But this year, we're going to try to make it really a continuous program to continue to build.
And one thing we haven't even talked about yet that UR Medicine Finger Lakes Health does is the cardiac screening program, where you've caught some young athletes who had potential heart problems they wouldn't have known about.
Yeah, again, that's like building the relationship and having them be comfortable coming to you and saying, I'm feeling a little lightheaded. I'm feeling like when I run, I'm exerting myself more than I should be. And sometimes, you know, we just see it like you're not quite right. And then exploring the different options and getting them where they need to be to get taken care of.
And I think we all, I mean, the lay people in general, when you talk about being that first responder in the field, obviously we talked so much about it, that DeVar Hamlin.
Yeah.
That was front and center. I think it really raised awareness that this is not just about conditioning or just about, but there is a central role the athletic trainers play every single day and really the criticality of that.
Absolutely.
And I think when I first even started in healthcare, it was sort of maybe apparent, like there was maybe some people who would come to the games, but the idea of actually having you at, and not just, I think what sets our program apart, and when we care and we make those commitments to the school districts, we're at practices as well.
Yeah.
And we're not, when you think about it, it's not just that this happens in games when everyone's watching. This, you're starting to see these changes with athletes in practices. You know how they normally perform. You know when something feels different. So the fact that we have our team there, and it really is sort of an art and a science, it's the science that you've talked about of that balance of support and mobility. But there's also it's medical care, and it's preventive medical care. And I don't know that even those of us sort of, I think, who grew up seeing it differently, there's just leaps and bounds, which has been happening in athletic training from way back when I was in high school, or even those college athletes you'd see play. So I always think just hats off that we've made this connection to the continuum, and that's why I feel so grateful that the athletic training we offer, I do feel like, is leaps and bounds and really is a different kind of approach than, you know, somebody's dad who's out there
to
watch.
Yeah, and absolutely. A lot of schools don't have that luxury, so that's great. Caitlin, thanks for coming in as always. Always great. I always geek out when we start talking athletic stuff and sports medicine and training, so always good to visit with you.
Yes, thanks for having me.
Laura, thank you as always for helping us keep healthy for all these years.
Thank you.
All right, you are Medicine Finger Lakes Health, 853 FLX Morning.